Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call. I'm going to press record on one more device. There we go. Welcome, welcome. We are working with our new context for the next 2 months now. We're heading into the fawn response, and we're starting off with transforming fear into practical action. The fawn response. Let's talk about that briefly. And we'll be getting into all the pieces of it over the next couple of months. But the fawn response, in essence, is people pleasing or thinking that we need to validate our own sense of self, self-worth, etc., by locating that out there versus in here. So, in terms of figuring out where we are, that could be interesting to locate ourselves. So, we'll do a little bit of work. This is in part why it's following the disorientation, as disorientation also is not really sure where we are. And the fawn response is much the same. It thinks that we need to find ourselves by looking out there versus locating ourselves, so self in here. So we'll get into more details and more experiential pieces around that all in the next little bit here. And know that as we start off today's call a little bit early, I'm so impressed with how many people are here on the call live. So very happy to have you here. And yeah, slow golf clap, especially to those of you that are joining from BC, where it's even earlier. I'm definitely joining from my dog walking clothes slash yoga clothes. So you'll see me in that likely every other Wednesday, as I don't have time to change in between things. And I offered the option, and then you guys selected the option. I was like, "Oh, whoops! I forgot that my own schedule has it's very close, so I'm able to leave my yoga class just a couple minutes early to join you all, and I'm very happy to do that." And all that means is I might not be as dressed up as I normally am with hair and makeup done every other Wednesday. So let's on that note settle in to your comfy cozy spaces. One of you is having a lot of troubles joining you. I keep seeing you attempt to join there, Kathleen, and I've added you about six, seven times now. So I'm hoping this is the seventh time is the charm thing, and you'll be okay there. But let me know if there's anything else I can do to support you on that end. Otherwise, the recording might be your baby for today. It looks like you're actually already on the call, but you keep joining or adding. Are joining to be added again. I'm not sure how to word that properly, but I'm hoping your tech issues are not too problematic for you. Okay, enough talking. Let me invite you guys to get comfy cozy and settle on in, making any last minute adjustments you need. And I want to say I'm actually really loving getting through this right after yoga, where my brain is just all super happy post yoga. I don't usually get to facilitate immediately following, and my brain is loving it. Now, so you get comfy cozy. I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life, and every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. And to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels comfy, cozy, pleasant, neutral even, taking time to savor that. And to really take time to take that in. Let yourself really receive it. Then I'm going to invite you to scan either outwardly or inwardly your environment. And as you scan outwardly or inwardly, either way, the invitation is to let your gaze land on anything in particular after you've looked around a little bit, looking in all directions. So letting the gaze land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. And once you've located that thing outside of you or inside of you, noticing what it is you like the most about that thing, this area, this object, this part of you, wherever you are. And as you let your gaze land on that, taking time to notice all the goodness that's here, whether that be the shape, the size, the color, or the texture that's here. Maybe it's the way that the shadows and the lights play together and dance with each other here. Whatever it is you've landed on, continuing to savor all that goodness and breathe it in just a little deeper now. And notice what happens inside of your body mind as you breathe that in. And if any part of that feels also good to receive, pleasant, or even simply neutral, taking time to also savor that. Thank you for calling this medicine in. Thank you to all that's gone into creating this sweet moment of connection together in these ways. Thank you to all that's made it possible for you to be here today, whether that's your villages that you rely on for support, whether that's the family that created you as you are, whether it's your ancestors, your lineage. And thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded the very lands that have supported all of those energies. Those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands for those that have come before and those yet to come. Thank you for this gift of life itself and sustaining it in those ways. Thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. And interestingly enough, we're starting off with a cellular repair, which helps to restore cells and optimize their health again, return them to their optimal state of health that's available. And we're doing that for actually a couple of things. We're doing that for the liver, as well as for the kidney on the right side, the right kidney, which is our masculine kidney. And the kidneys are overall yin, but the one on the right side has a little bit more yang energy in it, as well as the relationship between the liver and the kidneys. And we actually often rely on one more than the other to detox as humans. Even though the liver has more capacity to detox, we tend to, as humans, rely more on our kidneys overall than our liver as compared to other animals. Which means it usually puts a little bit more strain on the kidney. And in essence, it does for the liver too, because in a way the liver becomes underworked and the kidney becomes overworked. And the liver usually becomes additionally underworked by other environmental factors, its capacity to store fatty tissue, it's doing a lot of different activities for us in our day, and it's often given tough working environments, tough conditions to actually do everything that it's capable of doing. So it's kind of underworked, but it's also really stressed about it. And it's usually underworked from its natural healthy roles because it's too busy dealing with all the extra pollutants and toxicities that are there. So as we run this cellular repair on both the liver and the kidney, we're also going to run a C3 on how it is you're metabolizing your toxicities and how it is those detoxification pathways are present and available throughout those different organ structures. And finding the right balance so that way the liver becomes a little bit more available to do some of the heavy lifting, so to speak, taking some of the pressure off the kidney. And as we run that C3, which I'll explain in just a moment, we're gonna also run a body chemistry to help detoxify the actual liver itself. So body chemistry is supporting our immune system and dealing with everything from microbes and toxins to intolerances and allergies alike. So as we work with this body chemistry in general, not going into any specific factors here, that C3 is going to run alongside of it for the next 6 days. We're going to do both of those things till basically the time that we meet again. And that C3 starts with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness, or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous system, our immune system, for that matter, most of our body mind to heal. We're gonna also circulate the balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine, and amongst that all running hydration, which helps the cells to take in water, enjoy, and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. Then the D for defrag. Much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking out the clutter where there doesn't need to be anymore and helping it to reorganize and, in essence, making room for what is here to be clearly graspable and usable in a practical way. And on the other side of that reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization gets us out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opens up to other possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Followed by integration and introspection to shift the underlying consciousness. We can think of that as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as that C3 runs here for the next 6 days alongside of that body chemistry, we're going to also do another cell repair. And this time it's actually for the left kidney and the spleen, and in a similar fashion, without necessarily the detoxification stressors, to the same degree or in the same way that it's playing out with the liver. The spleen does detox in a different way, helps to clean and purify our blood and gets rid of old blood cells. And we can think of that as helping to eat up our old things that no longer bring us passion and joy to make room for the new things that we might be stepping into growth-wise for fueling our creative processes alike. I'm going to repair that relationship between the left kidney and the spleen, as well as running a cellular repair on the spleen and on the left kidney, which is the feminine kidney, the yin kidney. And we're going to run another C3 here. Same steps as everything that I've mentioned already. I won't say it all again. And this one's running for an extra day. This one's running for 7 days. So I'll run right up until the time that we meet again. Okay, and as we balance the rights and the lefts, so to speak, of the body in this way with cell repairs, with Cedries, we're going to link that all through to the, it's actually the two chakras. It's the base chakra as well as the crown chakra, the base chakra to ground in that, and the crown chakra for its capacity to transcend, to move beyond. And as we support the system in doing that, we're going to also run the reciprocals for all of the spine and its various different partners of its vertebrae, the topmost vertebrae pairing with the bottommost, and then they move in until they meet in the middle. And as we balance the spine in that way, also balancing the area just above and below the spine, the sphenoid and the coccyx, which helps us to connect the capacity to receive heaven while here on earth, which we might think of just reframing how it is we're connecting to human suffering and what's actually keeping us stuck there. And the sphenoid to coccyx can actually help to highlight some of those old blockages that are ready to go to make room for that to transcend, to have a different understanding, a new perspective on, which doesn't have to carry the weight or the heaviness of that old perspective that might have locked in suffering a little bit too heavily. And as we run sphenoid to coccyx, we also need to unwind the connective tissue, the fascia in particular, around the left side of the sphenoid. It's like it's pressing down onto the eye and it's limiting vision. And that limitation of vision on the left eye. The left eye is the eye that receives. Our eyes actually do very different things. And if you look into somebody's left eye versus their right eye, the energy of that is the difference between the two is not small. You can even check it out in the mirror on in your own end. Just figure out which one it is, your left and your right might be the hard thing in the mirror. But yeah, the left eye will be the receptive, the feminine in essence. And as we work with this, the sphenoid, as it's sort of putting pressure, so to speak, on that left eye, is in essence crushing what's possible to be seen in your vision and what it is you're receiving in your own internal vision of what's possible. And it's limiting if we can't see it or sense it, that it might be possible. It tends to limit our, I'll take action to move towards that and do something about it. Yeah, and the thing that's weighting that down, that's crushing it, is this fear of not being acceptable to others. And we're looking at the old childhood conditioning in particular that said, be a good girl, be a nice girl, or else. And as we work with that, it's going, it's highlighting ages 1, 2, 3, and 4. So those first 4 years of life in essence. And we're looking at specifically the times in which that information seemed to get repeated, and it's said that we learn through repetition, and that repetition leading to the learning or the understanding that you aren't anything unless you are liked by others. That your worthiness is reflected by other people liking you or accepting you. As we look at all those times that lesson was reinforced, that was repeated, primarily by your caregivers and primarily by those that had a feminine nature. We actually need to link that into the 12th house, which is the house of the liver. We're actually working with this as we unwind the connective tissue around the sphenoid as in essence, a form of detoxification of those old beliefs and conditionings, and releasing that to the liver meridian, which runs through the crown of the head and all the way down to the inside of the leg. So it traverses from top to toe, or toe to top of head. And here, as we, in essence, start to detoxify, We also need to do an emotional release of shame that's holding that all in place. And that shame is being stored not quite anatomical, but it's around the front left neck, front left chest, closer to the midline, but it's not necessarily contained to just a specific energy pathway or organ or chakra or a specific part of you, but it's in that region. And it kind of looks like if you could imagine weather moving through, but instead of moving through, it got stuck. And it created this like internal storminess and that internal congestion that never seemed to go anywhere became something that it seemed almost like a personal failing, like you couldn't get that emotionally to shift. So it became this idea of, oh, I'm just a blank person, depressed person, frustrated person. Whatever the dynamics of shame were for every one of you, they'll be slightly different. It may have had the messaging of, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve to have that. And that could have a various different emotional profiles within that all. That might involve overwhelm, that might involve fear, that might involve sadness, that might involve anger, that might involve anxiety, as well as all of that playing out, of course, within the container of shame. So the question is what were the specific shame dynamics and how did that play out emotionally for you? And as we release that emotional weather pattern, so to speak, stored in the front of the neck and through the left side of the chest there and closer to the midline, we're specifically here releasing the pattern to have your emotions, whatever you're present to emotionally, mean that something is wrong about you. It's the pattern of deciding that you have an emotion present, and that must mean that something is wrong with you. When our emotions are simply energy moving through our system. And to be fair, they're not actually meant to necessarily get congested or stuck for long periods of time. And when they do, it's usually information that your body is letting you know, and it's inviting you to learn something or become aware of something. So in this way, as we work to unwind this pattern here of the meaning making gone awry, if I could sum it up with a newspaper headline, so to speak, meaning making gone awry, we actually need to defrag that through that region of the body. Again, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing now. In essence, as we defrag the system in this region, we're going to run the permission simultaneously here. The words are, it's safe to open up. It's safe to open up again. At the same time, we're going to run another permissions, and this might sound a bit counterintuitive. It's safe to, in brackets, we could hear the words, let the old. It's safe to die here. It's safe to let the old die here. It's safe to die here. And letting any pieces that are ready to go simply do that in this defrag process. And what remains here gets to be seen, gets to be opened up into, gets to be embraced. Then we're linking this all into house number 12, house of releasing, surrendering, allowing, making space. It's also the house of that liber meridian. And as we work with house 12, we're going to also work with the planetary energy of Neptune, which brings in spontaneity, which brings in inspiration, and also has a tendency to carry guilt and control. What if you didn't need to guilt trip or control yourself into letting go of things? What if you didn't need to guilt trip or control yourself into letting go of things? I'll say that one more time. What if you didn't need to guilt trip or control yourself into letting go of things? What if letting go is actually one of the healthiest, most natural, effortless processes there is ever meant to be? As soon as I say that, the diaphragms pop up. We're going to actually work with all four diaphragms. We're going to work with the regular breathing diaphragm. Then there is the diaphragm at the base of the throat, the thoracic inlet diaphragm. There's the one in the crown of the head, and there's another one that the base of the pelvis, the pelvic musculature that hangs out here, is thought to make up its own diaphragm of sorts. And here we're running another defrag. This time is around the consciousness of control. Consciousness of control. And as we work with releasing that, defragging that through all four diaphragms, we're then going to align them and link them up, syncing them up together. So that way, with every breath, they're in unison, working as like a piston of energy, so to speak. And with every exhale and inhale, they can support the lymph, in particular through the lymph nodes, and moving and releasing low self-esteem, overthinking, and overanalyzing alike. Beautiful. We're going to tap this part out here. So, invitation to breathe and receive. Okay. It looks like all that work on control was also a setup for another region where we tend to store a lot of control, which is that of our jaw muscles. Through the masseters, through the different layers that of connective tissue here. And it's also going into the temporalis muscle, which goes into the area just above our ear, around that temporal region of our brain, temporal bone. Where we put our hand on the side to indicate that through a variety of different body talk techniques for the body talkers in the house. And as we work with this particular region of control, we're working with this idea of you have to say things a certain way, a very precise, certain controlled way, or else. Dun dun dun. And that feeling like a really big weight, that feeling like a, like unless I hit that mark, all is lost. Like not carrying a small amount of doom here. Is there such thing as a small amount of doom? You know what I mean. And as we work within that, this energy of I must say this exactly right or else is in essence a form of people pleasing, a sense of unless I do this right, I won't be liked or accepted or loved by others. I won't have connection. I won't have a sense of belonging. As we defrag that through the jaw muscles now, defrag seems to be the technique of the day. Again, much like that spring clean, taking out the clutter, what remains can be readily reorganized, utilized for healing here. The jaw muscles, we need to actually run. The C and the Cedri for them, the circulation plug-in of all the healing resources, bringing in blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains the toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with that chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Those sounds, colors, frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids, along with that balance of yin and yang and hydration here. And as I talk that out, we're also going to bring in the planetary energy of Venus, bringing in grace, harmony and a sense of order that doesn't need to involve control. That might be a bit of a trippy concept, but it's possible to notice order, to have order, without needing to control it, without needing to govern it, without needing it to be a certain way or look a certain way. It's possible for order to be naturally there. And we're just bringing in that awareness, that consciousness, dropping it in this little seed, that little seedling that grows from that possibility and gets to show up however it does for you in the coming days, weeks, months ahead. And as those little seedlings sprout throughout the jaws, there's new life here. We're going to link it into the element of wood, which brings in expansion and growth. It's our, in essence, our spiritual spring, where we get to come alive. We're going to simultaneously do an emotional release of sadness, along with terror. It's coming out of the gallbladder meridian, where it runs on the side body. And our side body is how we stabilize, it's how we hold things together, it's how we at times even search to hold ourselves together as we look to it for containment. And from the gallbladder meridian, we're unhooking the belief system. I don't know how to hold this all together. I just don't know how to do it. I can't go on. I don't know how to hold this all together. There's times when you had, the challenging experiences when the chips were down, and it feeling really, really tough to hold things together, and that sense of despair and loss amongst it all. As we release that through the gallbladder meridian, through the side body, bringing in all the way to the sides of the feet now. That awareness that says, I'm here, I'm present, I'm here, I'm present. And it's safe to exist here as I am. It's safe to exist here as I am. As you work with that through the side body, all the way from the side of the feet on up now, letting that gallbladder meridian remember that it's safe, that it's present, that it's okay to be here, it's safe to exist here. And as it finds its footing, as it remembers its own sense of who it is, its own sense of self, as the gallbladder meridian awakens in that way, it gets to become like a role model for any other organs, endocrines, body parts, meridians, chakras, energies to do the same. And this begins like the seedling that gets to become a upward spiral of a fractal holographic pattern, rising, elevating, transcending. From the very grounded, rooted place with those feet, through the side body, through the side of the head, into the amygdala complex that makes choices, makes decisions around how it is we move forward. And decides amongst fear, anger, and rage how to respond to something or overreact to something, and makes that choice of which to do and how to do it. And for this part of the body, we're letting it know it's safe to change your mind. It's safe to try on a new perspective. It's safe to change your mind, meaning you can let it down, let go, set down old ways of perceiving things that may make some room for the new to be taken in. As we do that for the amygdala complex here, I see a lost little one, like they're maybe 2, 3 years old, and they're searching, they're longing to be found, and they feel like an outsider. They feel like they just can't fit in, they can't belong. No matter what they seem to do, they can't seem to let themselves be known or be received by others. And from here, we're also going to do an emotional release of sadness again, along with anxiety. And this lost little one is so scared that they'll never be found. And we're going to start off by connecting them to the heart energy field. And as they remember what it is to be held, to be loved, to be nurtured by this heart of yours, they get to slowly settle and become aware of their surroundings, that they're actually not alone, that they're actually held by the grace of this heart of yours. And that they're here to be scooped up, to be received, to be loved, to be supported, to be played with, to be sung to be danced with, to be received, to be provided for. And I just hear that little one go, oh, it's like a living miracle. As they're surprised, shocked, and also delighted equally to have this connection, have this awareness, and to remember what it's like to be held in these ways. And in essence, as you reparent this little one, as you get to support this little one in remembering what joy is like again, this little one gets to equally spark joy back for you, and there gets to be a reciprocal relationship. We're going to tap this part out here. One thing first, it's defined by the consciousness of flowing union. Of getting to flow in a state of union or connection. Okay, we're going to tap here. So I invite you to breathe in any way that feels right and receive flowing union with you and the parts of you that may feel a little bit lost or feel like a bit of an outsider. They get to connect and land here, offering them your breath. As we tap here, offering them your hearts. Had a big yawn with that one too. Must have been for me as well. And we're heading into house 12 again. That's that house of endings, surrendering, releasing, letting go. It's also the house of individuation, or peeling back the layers of who it is you are not. And we're linking that through to house number 8, which is has lots of pieces that it works with, but we're specifically working with regeneration. And I see this as supporting your system and remembering to let go of all the things that actually get in the way of or resist regeneration as our natural states. Much like the ecosystems of our planets, of our world that regenerates So too is your body meant to be a regenerative system. In fact, it's the most natural, effortless thing for us. We just sometimes need to get out of the way for it to do that. And if we think we're the ones steering the ship or having to do all the things, drive this bus, this body mind, so to speak, then it usually ends up depleting us to a certain degree. But if we can step aside to supportively allow this capacity for regeneration to move through us, it can often calm those underlying fears, anxieties, sadnesses, etc., with ease, helping us to connect to the natural joy that's effortlessly here in this process along the way. And with that, we're going to actually need to unwind some adhesions that are hanging out between the sacrum and the tailbone, as well as between the lumbar spine and the sacrum. So essentially at the bottom of the sacrum and then at the top of the sacrum. Now as we unwind that connective tissue that hangs out here, it's releasing the fear of the future and specifically being able to provide for yourself or keep a roof over your head, food in your belly, all the basic survival things. And as you release that survival piece from here, it's highlighting all the various joints in the body now, including most notably the sacrum region at the top and the bottom there, but going into all the different joints. And working here with a consciousness of transition. And working here with the consciousness or the understanding that life is constantly in transition. And that part of transitioning is also regenerative. As we change from the old to the new, as the new becomes old and we change out of that old and into the new again, that whole process, that whole cycle is actually meant to regenerate us, not to deplete us. And the only time it depletes us is when we attempt to control things or hang on to things, preferring that the old ways were still there, preferring that things weren't changing. We're working with that pattern now of wanting to cling to the past or cling to the old or cling to what has been through all the various different joint spaces. And we're just simply allowing that to flow through, to blow through, to not have to be clung to remember what it is, to allow movement here again. And to support that even further, doing another emotional release of sadness one more time around the desire to hang on, to not let change happen. And that's running in particular through the fingers and thumb and all the various meridians that go through the fingers and the thumb of the hands, as well as through all the toes, as well as through the mouth and the anus. As we support the edges, the extremes, the fingers, the toes, mouth and anus, looking at releasing that pattern through all the different edges and releasing this idea that you need to contain yourself by means of being stuck and miserable, that you should control yourself by staying stuck in what's bringing you pain, suffering, misery. And as we release that through the different appendages in this way, going into the womb space when you were just forming in that first trimester around the third month. And again, releasing that need or that desire to cling to things in order to move forward, releasing this belief and this pattern of life that you need to cling to things in order to be able to move forward. And one could argue that people pleasing or fawning is nothing more than a clinging. As we support this babe, this little one, in releasing that through their various appendages, linking this all through to 10th house, house of outward self-expression. There might be more room for that now without having to cling or hang on. There might be more room to expand, to grow, to extend into new areas, to take on new experiences, and to open yourself up to things that might be new and different and nourish you. And we're going to tap that part out here. Invitation to again breathe and receive. Okay, loves. Just giving that a couple more breaths, letting that part really settle in here. Okay, and this next part that we're working with is in the tailbone, the coccyx. And it's on both sides equally and wrapped around the very bottom point of it as well. And it's this idea that bad things happen and we have to be afraid of them to the point where we shouldn't even want good things to happen because that just means more bad things are going to show up. So we should be afraid of bad things happening and not want anything good to happen. And as long as we stay miserable and stuck in that fear and don't risk hopefulness or the capacity for joy to be present again, then we will protect ourselves and not risk feeling good, and we'll just stay in a steady state of feeling miserable or bad. And as we work within that, excuse me, we're heading into the relationship between the tailbone and the pancreas. The pancreas is that place where we take in the sweetness of life, and we can adapt to the rhythm of life to find our own rhythm within life itself, amongst a variety of things. The pancreas in general is also supportive of adaptability as a whole. And here we actually need to release the emotion of despair, of irritability, and of, I'm just going to call it a bad attitude. So despair, irritability, and a time when we're just, cranky, cantankerous, we have that bad attitude. And there's this idea that all of that is somehow protective. And yet, it may actually be creating the conditions in which we stay stuck in all of those essences, and we actually don't allow ourselves to risk feeling anything good out of the fear of we'll just feel pain again anyway, so why bother risking the good? And here, we're releasing the belief system from mom's side of the family that says, don't bother being optimistic. Specifically, the words here are, don't look up. From dad's side, releasing the essence of Life is hard. It's gonna be hard. Has to be hard. So it's gonna be hard. Keep your head down and just keep going no matter what becomes the combination or the union of those two. And as you release that, as it begins to unwind through the family lines, we're going back a fair ways. We're going back on mom's side, 13 generations. And on dad's side, it's 16. As you release this through the generations, through the family lines, also unwinding it through your own system to influence not just yourself, but those that have come after you equally alike. And then linking this into the 10th house again, this time for its role in recognition. For you to clearly recognize that you are actually not beholden to either one of those patterns through mom's side or through dad's side. And that's simply because that's the way the family has done it before. It doesn't necessarily require that that's the way you need to do it moving forward, that you get to find your own path here in life. And we're running that as a permission. So the words simply are, I walk on my own path now. I walk my own path now. I walk on my own path now. Beautiful. And as you work with that, we're heading into the solar plexus chakra all at the same time here. That solar plexus chakra works with harmony, with digestion to bring in the nourishment that creates harmony in our system. And it helps to give a sense of personal power or harmony within our self-confidence. And as I say harmony, know that we're, I keep emphasizing that word, we're actually in what's referred to as the solar plexus chakra, but a specific part of it called subchakra number seven, pardon me, subchakra number four. And then we're going to link that into the solar plexus chakra, subchakra number seven, which helps us to transcend. So as it harmonizes, it gets to release and transcend. So as we harmonize that sense of power, that sense of digestion, the sense of being able to digest what feels good again, along with being able to digest the stuff that doesn't feel so good equally. It creates not just harmony, but the capacity to transcend those old patterns that were granted through the family lines as an opportunity for you to learn, for you to grow. Nothing that was meant to be harmful or a blockage to you, unless you perceived it as such. This was an invitation to simply awaken within yourself and to come to a new awareness. Yet so often when conflict or challenges arise, we often say something along the lines of like, fuck that shit. I don't want to deal with that. So I invite you to potentially try out a new perspective that this is actually here in your favor, even though it might be really confusing or challenging or difficult to see that this is actually here for you. And it's being defined by the consciousness of luminosity, the consciousness of luminosity, which makes me think of like, what can we see with light? What can be illuminated here? And doing one more emotional release of sadness. It's apparently sadness day, even though it's transforming fear week. The sadness that is intertwined here is likely quite important to address this juncture, and it seems to be more on now the right side of the body, and it's actually just sporadically through different regions of the right side of the body and the left side of the brain through our masculine nature. And as we release that sadness, releasing the belief or the idea of I am impotent. I am impotent, meaning whatever I do, nothing seems to happen. Whatever I attempt to turn my attention towards is ineffective. And it's released the sense of impotency. Also with it is going the belief system of I don't matter. Matter coming from the root word in Latin meaning matre or mother. We, as you hear the words I don't matter, could honestly hear the words of I don't mother, meaning I don't nourish. I don't receive nourishment or I don't take that in. So as we reject our own validity as a human being and in our existence of not mattering, we actually reject receiving nourishing experiences. And we close ourselves off, and life becomes that much more conflictual and challenging to navigate and to deal with. And the end result of that is usually getting stuck in tighter and tighter circles of challenge and misery of suffering. We're just simply changing that tide, so to speak, by means of linking it into all 5/6 senses to offer a different perspective. I'm bringing in here a connection to the brow chakra, the third eye region, your sense of intuition, your sense of insights, to provide other perspectives. And then we're going to tap this part out here. It's an invitation to again breathe and receive however feels right. So we're going to link that all into an integration piece. Everything that we've done today into the TMJ to SI reciprocal. The TMJ is our jaw joint. And our sacroiliac, our SI joint, is in the back of our body, below our hips, ever so slightly, on either side of our spine. And this connection between jaws and hips actually helps us to not just open up, but to digest. As we work with the TMJ to the SI reciprocal, we're going to link right sides to left sides, as well as linking left and left to right and right. So, doing opposite sides and same sides is what I'm attempting to say. And as we work with that, linking it all into the navel for the consciousness of connection. Invitation to breathe as we tap in this piece of integration. Excuse me. That part was for me too. Big yawns on my part. And I'm going to invite you to, if it feels right, touch back in on that resource. And I have a song here. It's a little longer. It's called Red Bird Part 2. And it's from the album, along with the artist, called Florist. It's about 5 minutes. I invite you to breathe and receive that all here. Letting yourself receive this medicine.
Ahead, I don't know if I can ever. You took her to the hospital and put her in the bed. I can only think about that day and what it meant when the doctor came out and said, "You have a daughter." Does it seem to rearrange all the images in my mind? Believe that it happened to me, like I was lost, but it happened all the same. And I can hear you singing still, wake up in the morning till the morning comes. Where's it gone now? Where's it gone? I've seen photos of the living room. We didn't have a lot, and the house needed some work done, so did it all yourself, or feeling a family, a place we could call home? So comes another year now. Did you ever even think we'd both be back here looking out? Beautiful place, seeing nothing but the glow of memory and the boy in our vision where she would be. Days go on and the redbird sings its redbird song. It happened to us and it's happened before and it happens all the same. I can hear you singing still. Wake up in the morning, let the morning come. Sing me a song, please sing me a song. I can hear you singing still. Wake up in the morning, let the morning come. She's in the bird song, she won't be gone.
Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you so much for being here. So appreciate you all. Mwah. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. And blessings in the rest of your day and week ahead. Bye for now, everybody. If you need any additional support afterwards, feel free to stick around. I've got a bit of time. And I'm going to wish you a most beautiful rest of your day and week ahead. Yeah, you're most welcome. You're most welcome. I'm gonna press stop on the recording here. Have a beautiful day.